Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, today is the day that's been 13 years to the day that a handful of men flew planes into our Pentagon and into the Twin Towers in New York. And we're going to be talking about that today. Plus, joining me today, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, we have so many things to cover. We want to get right to it. And this is important for us to remember. This one thing that we can learn from Israel. No, there's a million things we can learn from Israel.
Yeah.
But one thing we can learn from Israel is to learn how to remember. And you have to remember, they have museums to remember. They leave war equipment on the side of the road, even though it's rusting. It's like, that was the war, remember? That was the war that took place. And you remember these things, because if you don't remember, you repeat them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're going to need to, the next generation, you're going to have to be able to argue your viewpoint with the next generation who doesn't even know it existed yet. They aren't born yet. And we're living with a generation today who don't even know what happened in 9/11, how it happened. And surprisingly, it's on our college campuses. They're not even letting them know. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to go today to be able to show you maybe in a future program of how uninformed the college students are. In one university, they interview 30 students and only six of them knew that the name of the journalist, you know, Foley, that was beheaded by ISIS. But 29 of them, I believe it was, knew the actress whose system was hacked and they got new pictures of her. Wow. And it's like, you're on a college campus. Those professors should be teaching you about our history of America. And so we're going to be talking about several things in the context of that. But, you know, one is that we're going to be talking about how did we get here to this point? Because, you know, our president just spoke last night. It was 15 minutes of, you know, intense, obviously, thought that went behind that. And it's exciting, the fact that Christians were actually mentioned and that we're going to stand up for them. But it began with saying that ISIS is not Islamic, or ISIL at this point is not Islamic. Mm. And the very I in Islamic stands for Islamic, and the S stands for state. So Islamic State, ISIL, the L stands for the Levant, which is a caliphate, basically of
a region, right?
A hopeful caliphate by those who are in ISIS. And according to Dick Cheney on September the 9th, he was speaking supposedly behind closed doors, according to the Daily Beast. And this is Vice President Dick Cheney, for everybody out there that may remember. He was the vice president of George W. Bush. And he was saying that to assembly there in a caucus, that according to Representative John Fleming, this is what the Daily Beast writes, according to Representative John Fleming of Louisiana, Cheney said Obama has actually done things that have supported the Muslim Brotherhood. The former vice president then went on to name the Muslim Brotherhood as, quote, the beginning of all Islamist groups that we're dealing with today, like Hamas and ISIS. Fleming goes on in his account. He says, Cheney said that by facilitating the Muslim Brotherhood, our policies have been exactly the opposite to where they should be. Now, if you go back and you watch, and as a matter of fact, I think there's even a VFN Torch reference now. You go back and listen to the prophecies there at VFNTV.com, and we've talked about this prophetically. I mean, the very first speech we talked about was in Cairo. It was in support of the Muslim Brotherhood. Senator Michelle Bachmann, you know, Congressman Michelle Bachmann talked about, you know, their purging the concept of Muslim Brotherhood and radical Islam being an enemy. And what Vice President Dick Cheney said was what we've been prophesying about. You know, we only know it by what the Lord is laying on our hearts, and that was the beginning of a huge outright support, because eight members of the Muslim Brotherhood were invited to the Cairo speech. And you can see all this on VFNTV.com, the VFN Torch, by somebody. They were actually outlawed. They couldn't even be in Egypt at that time, legally in Egypt, because the president outlawed them. For some reason, our president was at Cairo, but the president, Cairo, Egypt, University of Cairo in Egypt, but the president of Egypt wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
But supposedly, reportedly, 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood were there. And long story short, Morsi became president of Egypt, and Mubarak went to jail. And he is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Of course, the Egyptian people were just like, what did you do? They removed him. And so we're looking at this thing, according in the confirmation of this report by Congressman Michelle Bachmann, and prophecy that was given about, you know, partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood was confirmed on September the 9th, 2014, according to the Daily Beast, according to Representative John Fleming of Louisiana, that by Vice President Dick Cheney, this is the whole thing. And they keep changing the names of all these different groups, but Dick Cheney, Vice President Cheney, confirms what we've always said. You know, in the Alinsky methodologies, you got to keep changing your narrative. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody's punching you in the left side, of course, first of all, somebody hits you in the right cheek, turn the left one. So that we're not talking about not moving in love. We're just talking about what's going on. But if somebody's actually hitting you with their right hand on the side of the face, and their name is Bob, but they continue to hit you on the right side of the face and says, no, my name is Steve. And they're continuing hitting you. They haven't changed what they're doing. And then they say, okay, now my name is, you know, Sam. It's like, don't buy into the, realize the same thing is going on. And for as Christians, what we do is we realize Ephesians 6:12, that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And that what's going on is, you know, obviously Satan is coming against, you know, the human race, and those that are held captive by him are being used to do those things. But it's the same thing. So Vice President Dick Cheney confirmed just a couple days ago, 2 days ago, in Washington, D.C., according to the Daily Beast, according to Senator or Representative John Fleming of Louisiana, that our issue is our president has partnered with these very same folks, which is known as Hamas and ISA and all the ISIS. And I think what's important to know, here we are on 9/11, and it was the very, think about it, it was radical Islam that the beliefs of radical Islam, that they really believed, according to our understanding, that if they die in the name or the service of jihad, dying for Allah is their highest call. That's the one of the pillars of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah. And so this belief system. So when we see also at the Cairo speech that I consider it my duty, this is a paraphrase quote of our president. And it's not like this, it's not just, it's because it's Islam. It's not because it's, you know, whatever, you know, religions in the world. Islam is in the scriptures of the Quran is against everybody who's not Islamic. Mm-hmm. Now you may have, you know, backslidden, you know, who people don't believe, you know, Muslims who say, you know, I don't pay attention to the Quran. Then you have moderates who pick and choose, you know, I like this one, but I don't like that one. Then you have loyalists. And you can go to VFNTV.com and you can actually see the comparison between the Quran and the Bible. And you can read a book that, because President George Bush said that Islam is a peaceful religion. That's what he said. It's a great and it's a peaceful religion. Well, this book answers the question, is it? Is it? Isn't it interesting that our first battle, according to history, was with radical Islam?
Wow.
And just staying, and so it's not about religion and all that. It's about this group of folks who believe that you got to either kill, convert, or put in servitude everybody else that doesn't believe like you. And so here we are empowering. It's 9/11, and we've empowered the narrative. And as the CBN News reporter said, when they were asking, what is the motive of these ISIS? You know, they were in Syria at that time. They haven't come down into Iraq, or maybe they did just a few miles into Iraq at that point. And they say, what is the, what's their motivation? What is their motivating factor? And this CBN News reporter reports, he says, they believe that the president is for them. They even have imagery and all that that's for them. Even the Egyptians held up signs that we have on the VFN torch that they believed. And it's like, whether we're not or are, whatever, if that's the perception that people who are doing evil things believe, that it empowers them. And the exciting thing about the president's speech last night in the White House was he said that we are not for this. Mm-hmm. even though he divided out and said ISIS is not Islam, either way, he's not for the evilness that's coming out of that. And he says there's going to be no place of solace. There's going to be no hiding place or something of that nature. You can't find it on the earth. We're going to
come. No safe haven.
No safe havens on the earth. And that's, I'm very grateful for that. Also, I thought was pretty interesting because we get back from this break, you know, we're going to focus on, you know, this is 9/11. That we got to pay attention from this point on, but pay attention. But President George W. Bush basically prophesied about this day, that this thing would happen if we pull out of Iraq the way that's happened. You'll actually hear him. This is the most watched video in the history of Fox News on social media. It is the most watched, and we're going to show it to you because it's come to pass. And the second thing is, it's interesting that all the ridicule that was done to the former president, and he made some mistakes, and definitely calling Islam a peaceful religion is a mistake because now we're fighting this peace. Mm-hmm. But is that the aircraft that was being launched, the F-14s, I believe, that's being launched, was being launched from the George H. Bush. Today, we're remembering 13 years ago when a handful of radical Islamists took some of our aircraft and flew them into the Pentagon. Which, by the way, just so you understand, the Pentagon, for those that don't know, that's our entire military hub force is where they're at. They were able to fly one of our airlines into the Pentagon and kill and harm and into two separate twin towers, you know, within feet of each other in the heart of New York City in the financial district, and thousands died. And we want to remember the families. We want to remember this.
And also the plane that you know, were able to crash in the open field.
And we want to remember this, that everything is heightened now because of some weird, twisted mindset. That the very mindset of the people who flew these planes that day supposedly now are our friends. Hmm. At least a radical viewpoint of them, leadership-wise, according to President Dick Cheney, the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's remember 9/11.
My name is Philip Zayas. I live in Rockland County, New York State. I'm an architect by trade and started working for a large financial firm that was based at the Trade Center in 1993. I was on the 56th floor of the South Tower. And on Tuesday, September 11th, it was a beautiful day, beautiful and sunny. And I remember coming to the office around 8:30 a.m. and quickly it became a nightmare. I could see through the windows that debris was flying. Everybody on the floor was going crazy, just looking for what was going on. And I remember my wife calling me right away, indicating that the plane has hit the World Trade Center and that I should leave right away. Well, I quickly got my stuff, and I walked out my office, and then the loudspeaker indicated that we should not be evacuating. So myself and a few colleagues, we went over to a conference room to take a look at the North Tower, and we could see that the building had gaping holes in it, smoke and fire was coming out. Then I started seeing many, many people just at the edge, leaning out the windows and eventually jumping to their deaths. And it really affected me dramatically. And so I stepped away from the window, and just when I did that, the plane hit our tower, the South Tower. And I was on the 56th floor, and the plane hit the building on the 77th floor. It felt like an earthquake. And my colleagues and I, we just looked at each other and we just said we need to run for our lives. So we ran to the stairwells. It was full of people, but it was very organized. The head of security had everything in order and I'm sure saved a lot of lives. When we got out to the street level, they led us into a safe zone. It's just a chaotic scene. It's helicopters, ambulances, firefighters, police, and only later did we realize how close it was. The building actually collapsed 25 minutes after we got out. Cell phones weren't working, so my wife still didn't know what was going on. My daughter Jasmine, who saw that the towers fell, was really brokenhearted about the fact that she knew I was in the towers and that I possibly have died. We also needed to see where all of our colleagues were, just to make sure everybody got out okay. We later found out that 13 of our coworkers had lost their lives. I knew five of them. You know, as I reflect back, when I first became a Christian at age 30, when I gave my life to God, and I think back at 9/11 and how God saved my life for the second time, I can't help but to just be overwhelmed with gratitude and appreciation for what God has done. I can't wait to go to heaven to be with the Lord, and I would hope I can bring as many people with me as possible. So when I think about 9/11, I just think about life is very, very short, and we have to grab whatever opportunities we have to help people understand the gospel, come to a relationship with Christ, and be eternally saved. A soul is extremely valuable to God, enough to give up his son to die for us. And if God thinks of our souls that valuable, then myself as a Christian and all of us should do everything we can, pour out our life. I think that's what life is all about, getting to know God, the here and now, but focused more on eternal life.
Lord, we remember, we just pray for the families today that will never see their loved ones in this life again. And just like the survivor said, you know, God gave a second chance. And every one of us need to heed that and to say, you know what? We need to use this life for letting people know that they can be saved. And he talked about being saved twice. Once when he gave his life to the Lord at 30, and of course from the Twin Towers. And that's a miracle right over his head that hit. Well, I want to say, okay, here we are. Who was president during 9/11? President George W. Bush was. And he said on the pile of rubbish of the 9/11 towers that folded like pancakes, he said with a loudspeaker as his arm was around one of the, I believe, one of the firefighters, he said that the world's going to be hearing from us soon. And he immediately began to put together a plan, a specific strategy, as they were asking from our current president, to get a strategy to begin to eradicate the issue that caused this thing to happen. And when that's how we ended up in Iraq, just so you understand that. Now that you see the what took place, the president said that we need to stop this. So we ended up in Afghanistan and we ended up in Iraq. And soldiers, your neighbor, these vets that VA is reportedly not taking care of today, they went to fight for us because of that. I know a restaurant owner. He was the owner of a Montana's restaurant in the Gulf Coast area, doing really well. And he just closed it down and he said, you know what? I am going to go out and fight for our country. And we want to say, you know what? They were there for us. We need to be there for them. But what was interesting, they were asking the president of that day, President George W. Bush, to remove the troops from Iraq. And what he deferred to his generals and the ones that were fighting. And he said, you know, let me find out what they want. And he came back and reported, this is what the general said. So when our current president took over presidency, he didn't heed that advice. And he went ahead and removed the troops before their time in Iraq. And today, understand what's happening today. Massive beheadings taking over the country, a new safe haven. When you hear the word Al-Qaeda, realize that's Hamas, Al-Qaeda, you know, all these different, it's all the same thing. ISIS, ISIL, they just keep changing the name, just like President, Vice President Dick Cheney just said. But I want you to hear right here, the President, George W. Bush, said exactly what would happen if we did pull the troops out. And President Barack Obama did pull the troops out, didn't have any kind of contingency factor, and this is what's happening today. You got to see how the dots connect. Once you listen to this short, most watched video clip in the history, according to Megyn Kelly on Fox News. Watch.
I know some in Washington would like us to start leaving Iraq now. To begin withdrawing before our commanders tell us we're ready would be dangerous for Iraq, for the region, and for the United States. It would mean surrendering the future of Iraq to Al-Qaeda. It mean that we'd be risking mass killings on a horrific scale. It would mean we allow the terrorists to establish a safe haven in Iraq to replace the one they lost in Afghanistan. It would mean increasing the probability that American troops would have to return at some later date to confront an enemy that is even more dangerous.
And so they're saying a prophetic warning, you see, and it's exactly what happened now. So the president, and he understand this, he was actually talking to folks, his generals, he reports, that this is what they're saying is going to take place. And it's happening now. And according to Vice President Dick Cheney 2 days ago, he's saying that our president partnered with this Muslim Brotherhood, yeah, who Hamas and ISIS and ISIL, he's combining the two. And he said, it's the opposite of what we actually need. And it's important to understand that for the context of, we got to begin to really pray for our country, because we've partnered with some pretty bad, guys. We're bringing you this intensity of information today so that this is 9/11. This is the day that we're going to focus on remembering what happened in 9/11. And understand, if you've compared based on what the Lord has been showing us, even talking about radical Islam, and you got to go to VFNTV.com, go to The Torch. Now we have a menu specifically focused on Christianity and Islam, comparing the two, and the Bible versus the, not verses, but the Bible and the Quran, comparing the two, and just to let you just see it. First, I mean, we really looked it up for you and took a picture of it, so you got a picture of the page, and it's the antithesis. And so when somebody says that there is peaceful Islam, and there are peaceful people everywhere, you can say, well, I'm so glad that that's a peaceful person, because according to Bridget
Gabrielle.
That the quiet majority is irrelevant anyway, they're not going to do anything. And you can find out more about The Torch, but understand this: as a Christian, you have to say, but the Quran is not true, because it says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. They think it's crazy for you to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, as a prophet, you know, it even says that he'll have to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. Mm. It's the anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. It is a anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. Or you can just paraphrase, it's anti-Christ religion. So when our president stands up before the world in support of this anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God of religion, understand the creator of the universe, who holds all things together, who gave his Son Jesus Christ for us that we might be saved and live forever. When we reject him like that as a nation, it's not good. I mean, the outcome of that's not good. It's not just something like, oh, it's what's the big deal? It's just another religion. And there's lots of religions. I mean, there's lots of them. But in regards to Islam, it's the bipolar opposite. If you read up in Revelation, the Quran says down. If it says that our Savior is going to come from the sky, they say that theirs is going to come from that hole in Mecca. It's going to come out of that well. And it's going to put a mark on everybody's head. Well, we say the mark is the mark of the beast. They say the mark is a good mark. You can find out about, we got all this available for you right there on the, you got to understand today's 9/11. Understand what was behind these human beings, these guys that were created in the image and the likeness of God that caused them to want to come get a pilot's license to learn how to fly a plane, but not how to land a plane, to be able to fly it, to kill your brothers and sisters, men and women who were just going to work that day. What? We have to understand this. That's why Thomas Jefferson had the Quran handed out. It wasn't for these other reasons. He wanted us to understand the one who was the enemy of our Constitution, yeah, the enemy of what we stood for as a nation. And it's not a religious war at all. It's actually a battle for the Constitution of the United States of America. And in that Constitution, the First Amendment allows all peaceful religions to be able to do whatever you're going to do, as long as you don't rob from me or you don't break my leg, is what he said. Mm-hmm. And so it's the First Amendment allows everybody to practice whatever they feel is their faith, mm-hmm, but it doesn't allow for somebody to come in. This is the reason why, by the way, if you research it, that, you know, if you give a tithe or an offering to a nonprofit, a Christian organization, you can write that off. But you'll notice that, and our president said he's going to try to change this, that you cannot give those monies to a mosque and write it off. And the reason why is because 1/6 of it is for jihad. Mm. It's for war. And so he wants to fix that. So you can write it off. It's like, what? Write off the price, yeah, of the knife who just took, you know, Foley's head off? I mean, what are we going to do? And it's like, this is tragic in our viewpoint. Understand, forget about horizontal viewpoints. Think about God's looking at you. You're going to stand before the throne of God. And we've got to begin to stand up and say, you know what? You know, this has nothing. This is not a religious war. This is actually a mindset of, we got to protect our citizens of America. We got to prevent another 9/11 from taking place. And if that was a cold, and we have enough symptoms right now to have the flu, we got to cry out like Jehoshaphat and position ourselves to receive from God. I believe a third great awakening is coming. But understand, everybody who falls in the water doesn't survive. Understanding a great shaking and quaking when tragedy hits, yes. You know, it causes people to repent quite often and turn to God, but everybody don't live through it. So if the earth begins to crack under you and you die at that moment and you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it's over for you. Now, the person who didn't fall in the crack, they can repent. But for you, it was over. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We can see what's happening in the earth today. We can see this partnering with this radical Islam, according to Vice President Dick Cheney now, confirming all the prophecy, he's saying it, Hamas, ISIS, it's all the same. With under the Muslim Brotherhood, it's all the same. And it's they're coming out now, and they're actually just nailing it for what it is. It's time for us to stand up and say, you know what? This is not a religious war. We are standing up in our faith under the Constitution, under the First Amendment, declaring Jesus Christ is Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. We can do that. And our country has a right to be able to protect itself from enemies, foreign and domestic. And our soldiers, they wouldn't even let into the school in Michigan. A lieutenant colonel, we wouldn't even let into the school because they felt the uniform would actually offend the students. Students, please listen. That is to be honored. That uniform is to be honored because he fought for you.
The world was different that day. The economy was booming, 401ks were solid, and if asked, 8 out of 10 Americans wouldn't be able to define the word jihad. On that day, something happened that changed everything. That day was a Tuesday. For most of us, our only connection to the events of that day was what we saw on television. However, we are all connected and that we all have a place. For some of us, it's a spot on the highway. For others, it's in an office. Or at coffee with a friend. It's the place we will never forget. The place where we watched it happen on that day. So here we are, many days later, still hurt, still angry, still trying to understand why. 1 Corinthians 13 explains that we don't see things clearly right now. In essence, we just won't be able to understand in this lifetime things like what happened on that day. However, it goes on to say that one day we will see all things clearly. But until that day comes, we have three things to embrace to help us in our reconciliation: faith in God, unswerving hope, and love. And the greatest of the three is love. Through the shock and the horror, something else happened on that day. Although the evil intentions appeared to be a success, our country embraced the complete opposite of what was intended. Instead of division, there was unity. Instead of confusion, there was clarity. And instead of falling apart, we banded together. But then again, that's the way one nation under God will always respond.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.